once you we bear with me till we finish 9th mantra, 10th mantra, then something which will give you a lot of clarity. We'll see. When I finish this two more mantras, then I'll sum up the whole thing again. Not the mantras, the concept behind it, the methodology, I'll sum up again. Tasmad rajasama, tasmad rajasama, yajumshi, dikshaha, yajnascha, sarve, kratavo, dakshinascha, samvatsarascha, yajamanascha, lokaha, somo, yatra pavate, yatra suryaha. See, continuity of what has been being said. In not only all the beings of various species and the sources, the male and the female, the form of male and female forms, and the food, and the earth, the rains, the waters, the sun, the moon, all that we need for these things to exist, all of them have come into being from Brahman. Then it goes next to it. This way, not in detail. You can't do, what is this? And it says Brahman, suddenly it says vapor, moon, sun, what does it mean? You don't need to question all that. Just accept what the Upanishad says. What Upanishad tries to say is everything has come into being from Brahman. The known and the unknown lokas. Everything. There's nothing which exists outside of Brahman. That's what he says. Then he's going to talk about next. Already he has said, all Vedaha, he already said. Now he's elaborately saying, what now? Tasmat, from that Brahman, Ruchaha. Ruchaha means what? Rik means mantra. Ruchaha, many mantras. Ruchaha means Rigveda mantras. All the Rigveda mantras, you know, have come into being from Brahman, Ruchaha. Samaveda mantras have come into being from Brahman. Not only Rig mantra and Sama mantras, the way they had to be recited, the chanted, that knowledge also has come to being from Brahman. You understood? Yajumshi. Yajus means Yajurveda mantra. Yajumshi means what? Plural word. All the Yajurveda mantras. So Rig, Yajus, Sama, Atharvana is imprinted because this book itself is from what? Atharvana Veda. Okay? Therefore, all the Atharvana mantras is implied here. Have come into being from Brahman. And not only that, Dikshaha. So, Dikshaha means what? In fact, Diksha literally means, you know, we say that's a ceremony. You know, a ritual performed as a ceremony of first, you know, how to go about doing rituals. Diksha, literally we say. So here in this context, Diksha means, suppose if a teacher initiates the students into the study of something with a given, for a given discipline, for practicing a given discipline, the initiation into a given discipline is also called Diksha. Suppose, okay, japam you do, or a meditation you do, or study you do. If a student is initiated into a pursuit of given discipline, then that initiation also is called Diksha. But here Diksha means what? In fact, the know-how of rituals, how the rituals prescribed in the Karma Kanda should be performed. Dikshaha. Then Yajnascha Sarve. Sarve Yajnaha. Now Sarve Yajnaha means what? All Yajnaha, fire ritual. You know, and then Kratavaha also fire rituals. So simple fire rituals are said to be Yajnaha, you know, and the fire rituals which involve more efforts are said to be Kratavaha. In fact, because you don't know what the performance of rituals here, definitely when you come to India next time with me, sometime I try to explain to you. We will have some at least a small some exam. I can teach you the difference. Now yupaha, when you say yupaha, the sayupaha kratuhu, ayupaha yajnaha. A fire ritual which involves, you know, a sacrificial pole. Yupa means a pole. So there's certain sticks they'll have and all that, okay? A sacrificial thing, pole is called. And if the rituals, if people having those sacrificial poles, if they perform rituals, is called sayupaha. It's called, same fire rituals called kratuhu. A same fire rituals, simple rituals, without these sacrificial poles, if they perform, it's called ayupaha. We don't need to know. How to make sambar? Why should we know? Okay, we are not interested because we are getting something different. Our interest is different. But you know all about all forms of rituals. It is for people who studied those days. You know, the idea is what? What is the idea we have to arrive at here? We don't need to go into the details of, oh my God, I don't know what the rituals are. What is a kratuhu? What is a yajnaha? Both mean the fire rituals. Both mean religious, you know, activities prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda. We do not know what it is. How can I understand Vedanta? My God, don't worry about it. Even Indians do not know about it. Understand, what it means is, all those have come into being from Brahman. That is what you need to know. Some difference in performance of fire rituals. Okay, that difference is revealed through what? By naming it as Kratuhu and Yajnaha. All are fire rituals only. So kratavaha, then dakshinascha. Dakshina means what? A gift given. Now, as a part of the ritual is called dakshina. So what are all the dakshina should be given? How much should be given? When should they be given? Who all should be given? How it should be given? All the, you know, modes of dakshinas. Now, how giving, you know, as a part of the ritual, karmanga, that is also, that knowledge also, who taught us? Everything has come from Brahman only. That is what he says. Understand now. Then, samvatsarascha. Samvatsara literally means year. An year, okay? And this year means kalaha. So, it implies the time factor has come into being from Brahman. Time factor, and in the different timings, we have different seasons. In different seasons, we perform different rituals, and we also we have different experiences. So all those times are what time, also time, and the time bound experiences, and the things which happen in different timings, all of them have come into being from Brahman. Samvatsarascha, then yajamanascha. Yajamanaha means worshipper, the performer of rituals. You know, who should be the performer of rituals? What are all the qualifications required to be the performer of a ritual? Now, why should I not perform ritual? Why am I not qualified or what? If I think and then I don't, I'm really not qualified means, then the ritual won't be effective. How disciplined the performer should be? What all the disciplines that go with the performer of rituals? No, the knowledge of what is the eligibility required for one to be the performer of rituals. And no, etc. That knowledge also is what? From Brahman. So yajamanascha, the performers, and the knowledge required on the part of the performers. Then lokaha, already we have seen. Now, lokaha means what? All the worlds, known and the unknown worlds. What are the lokaha? He talks about two lokas, Brahma lokaha, Chandra lokaha and Surya lokaha. Chandra lokaha is said to be what? The highest of, sorry, Surya lokaha is said to be the highest of the lokas. And what is next to that is what? Inferior to Surya loka is what? Chandra loka. And he says, Somaha Yatra Pavate Yatra Suryaha. The two lokas, Surya Lokaha and Chandra Lokaha, which is said to be Satya Lokaha and Swarga Lokaha, also you can say. These two lokas are the higher lokas. Suppose a person who performs rituals, and without upasanam, and he as a how punyam he gained as a result of that Paramahansa rituals goes to travels after the death of the body. He travels through the Krishna Gatihi, called Krishna Gatihi or Chandra Gatihi, which is called a dark path. Okay, and he goes travels through the path, and he goes to the Loka, which is called Chandra Loka, where moon is the Lord of that world. And similarly, then if a person performs rituals along with the practice of meditation, upasanam, then as a result of that, this upasana karma samuchaya, and he was a punyam, he has gained through the upasanam and karma, and he travels through Shukla Gatihi, the solar path, then he reaches the Surya Loka. These are lokas prescribed there, the paths, the knowledge, the performance, all the knowledge, where has it come from? Where is it from? All are from that Brahman only. Look at this. Surya Loka, Chandra Loka, and the paths which take you to those lokas, the solar path and the lunar path, or Krishna Gatihi, or, white path, we said dark, the solar Shukla Gatihi and then Krishna Gatihi, and we all talk about the lokas and all this, and the knowledge required and performance of rituals and the practice of upasanam, all these things, where are they from? All the knowledge required for performing rituals, practicing upasanam, and thereafter the phalam, to go there, and the lokas, all of them have come into being from that Brahman alone. Why it says so much? You don't need to worry about anything. That Brahman, that reality, without which there is no Chandra Loka, no Surya Loka, no solar path, no lunar path, nothing is that, okay? That reality is you, okay? How nice it is to know. Without going anywhere, you will resolve them all in you. How nice it is to know that. That is what Upanishad is going to say that. Yatra pavate suryaha. I'm just going. Tasmat cha devaha bahudha samprasutaha. So, tasmat, look at this. Tasmat means what? From that. From which? From what? From that Brahman. From that reality. From that Brahman alone. From that absolute reality, Brahman alone. All those have come. Because what has come into being happens to be so... what all have come into being have happened to be variety and multiplicity have come into being, happen to be innumerably countless, who has used many mantras. But what is that from which so many have come into being is what? Only one Brahman. Therefore what? Tasmat. From that reality, Brahman alone have come into being what? Again he says, Devaha. Yes, Devaha. Devaha means what? All different, natural phenomena. All these shaktayaha, every phenomenon is a deva only. All these manifold powers, the celestial being. Then he says, bahudha samprasutaha. Not one power here. No, bahudha means in various forms. Varieties of many forms, many devas have come into being. It is sadhyaha. Okay, sadhyaha means what? Sadhyaha also the celestial beings. The beings in higher worlds. The beings in higher worlds which we can't even comprehend. Because higher world beings means what? A being in higher worlds means in the different imperceptible subtle forms. In subtle forms. Beings in higher worlds are in subtle forms. So there are said to be what now? Celestial beings. Sadhyaha. Then manushyaha. Abba, all of us. Manushyaha. At least we know this. Manushyaha. All the human beings. Pashavaha. Pashuhu means an animal, literally speaking. You know, Pashavaha means all this, Pashavaha, animals. Vayamsi, all the birds. Urvana, Parappana, Nadappana, we have to say all those things. Then he says, Prana Apanau. Suppose for all these living beings, varieties of various kinds of living beings, main thing is prana, isn't it? So prana apanau. The respirate, you have seen all the pranas together. But here specifically we mention prana apanaha. Happy New Year, Rupal. Welcome. So here, pranaha apanaha, we say the respiratory system which involves both inhalation, exhalation, the breath. Where is the breath? No, the breath all has come into being from where? That Brahman only. So pranaha apanaha, which involves both in the system, the function of respiration. Having inhalation, exhalation is what? Both have come into being from Brahman. Prana apanaha apanau. Then, suppose for that prana apana to be there, for the energy to be there, really, food is important. Already has mentioned as food. But here he says specifically mentions two names of two grains to mean all the food. Vrihi, yavo, vrihi. Vrihi, see, tandulaha means rice. But vrihi means paddy. Nil. Vrihi. Yavaha means barley. Vrihi yavo. You can include oats also. You can include anything. Vrihi yavo stand for all that we eat. All the grains we eat now are represented by these two. Vrihi yavo. Vrihi yavaha. All of them have come into, the food has come into being from that Brahman. Then tapaha cha. Tapaha. You know what is tapaha? Tapaha means tapas. Sakarantaha napumsakalinga shabdaha tapas. Tapas means what? Any discipline followed with commitment. Any discipline followed with commitment is called tapas. Which is said to be penance or austerity. Tapas also know that knowledge of tapas. Know what is a tapas, how a tapas should be followed, what is a discipline, how it should be followed, who is, and they all have come into being from where? From Brahman, tapas, the disciplines. He says, Shraddha. Shraddha means what? Shraddha means again, the faith. The Shraddha also, Shraddha means, see, faith in accomplishing, in following any means for accomplishing anything. Where have you got it? Suppose you should have Shraddha, faith in doing something to being a means to accomplish something. Okay, I'm hungry, I need food, and for the food I had to cook this. If I put it in the water, if I boil it, it get cooked. The means, the Shraddha, faith is there. It's not faith, we are very clear about the fact, it will work. And even if it doesn't work, also with the faith you start it, isn't it? But here, Shraddha means what? Shraddha, the faith in the Shastram, faith in the words of what the Shastram says, the faith itself is what? In our state of mind, where is it? Where has it come into being from? Brahman. Shraddha. Then Satyam. Satyam, the greatest, discipline of truthfulness. Values, it was stand for all other values also. All the values, all the universal values. Universal values are not, really not created. Means what? They are there. They come into being from where? Values are coming to the knowledge of values. Values, knowledge of values. Knowledge of values also has come into being from where? From that Brahman. Satyam. Then Brahmacharyam. It's very important. See, brahmacharyam, literally people say celibacy. Brahmachari is said to be celibate. Who is celibate? What is celibacy? Now, Brahma, Param Brahma is the reality. But Veda happens to be, not happened, Veda being the only means of knowledge of the reality, as a Veda being a Pramanam, the knowledge of knowledge of Brahman, Veda being a means of knowledge of Brahman, the reality, Veda also is said to be Brahma. And Veda, this body of knowledge also, you know, happens to be penny eternal, timeless Shastram, it is said to be Brahman. How Veda Shastram, the knowledge of Vedas is perennially eternal, that I'll explain sometime. I had to do that. I will do that later on, not now. When I do Taittiriya, I'll do that. I had to wait for that. Now, this Veda also said to be Brahma. And Charyam means what? Charyam means one who has taken up, the one who is committed to the study of that Veda to the exclusion of every other pursuit is what now? Being, no, having commitment to pursue the knowledge of the Veda to the exclusion of all other pursuits is said to be Brahmacharyam. Now, having a commitment to study the Veda, to the pursuit of study of Veda, and to exclusion of everything else means what? Matellavatrium vittu vedathai padippadai mattume thalaiyaga karmaga kondu vaazhgiravan is a brahmachari, that's called brahmacharyam. If a person has a commitment, you know, to commit with, if he is a person is committed to the study of the Veda to the exclusion of other pursuits means, he is also the one who follows all the disciplines very strictly which go with the pursuit of knowledge of Veda. The disciplines also. You know, that one who really manages his thoughts and mind, body, everything. You know, such a person is called brahmacharyam. So all the disciplines to be followed by a brahmachari who is committed to the pursuit of the study of the Veda, you know, and all that, that also has come into being from where? From Brahman. The disciplines enjoined, a study of the Veda is called Brahmacharyam. Study of the Veda and the disciplines that have to be followed by the one who is given to the study of the Veda, together is what? All of them have come in, together is said to be mentioned by the word Brahmacharyam here. It also has come into being from where? From that Brahman, Brahmacharyam. Vidhihi, vidhischa, vidhihi. Vidhihi means actually all this, the rules and regulations to be followed in performing rituals. Vidhihi. There are so many vidhis are there. Vidhi. Who should perform? I told you already about the yajamana. Who should be the performer of, what is the qualification required for one to be the performer of ritual? Again here, what all the rules should be followed in performing a ritual is called what now? Vidhi. So who prescribed those vidhis? This all the knowledge. Knowledge of vidhis. Knowledge of brahmacharyam, knowledge of being yajamana, knowledge of, understand, everything is knowledge only. Everything is basically knowledge. Therefore, all these things have come into being from Brahman. Who prescribed this? There's nobody. Who prescribed this? These are all the rules who had to follow in performing a ritual. The vidhi. Who prescribed this? No, the vidhi is already there as part of the Veda. Let me ask what? In the form of what? In the form of knowledge. The rules and regulations to be followed in performing rituals is always already in the form of the knowledge of the rules and regulations. That has come into being from where? From that Brahman. The commitment, the knowledge of, the commitment to the pursuit of study of Veda, where is it come from, coming to be from? From Brahman. And the disciplines which go with the pursuit of the study of Vedas, they come into being from Brahman. Everything. Okay, I'll stop here. The seventh mantra. And I'll explain that again. The rest, 8, 9, and 10 if you finish in next class, and then I will continue with that. But I won't tell you here. When you say, all these have come into being from Brahman, what does it mean? I told you. Now, we have few more verses. Few more verses. I mean, two more verses to be completed for this. 2, 3 more. 8, 9, 10. So, all this, different things, even have come into being from Brahman means the whole Jagat has come into being. The whole Jagat, the entire cosmos, when you say, not only the Bhuloka, not only this world, what is known to you, there are also unknown worlds. The world known to you is this world. There are unknown worlds, which you cannot say they do not exist at all, because I do not perceive. You cannot prove that they are not existent, because you don't perceive. Nor can you accept, yes, they exist, because they are available for verification. For what? The worlds are said to be there. So the known and the unknown worlds, if at all there is anything, extra, anything higher worlds there, all of them together constitute the whole Jagat. And everything is nothing but a manifestation of knowledge. Arivin totrame anithumna. Manifestation of knowledge is the whole Jagat. And that knowledge, manifest knowledge, for the knowledge to manifest, knowledge must have already been there. In everything you see is manifestation of knowledge means, knowledge which is manifest must have been already there as unmanifest knowledge. Isn't it? If the knowledge was already unmanifest, the whole Jagat is manifestation of knowledge, which was already there as in an unmanifest condition means, that for the knowledge to be unmanifest, or when it is manifest also, what is the source of knowledge? What is the origin of knowledge? When the knowledge is manifest or the unmanifest, there must be a source, no? Source of knowledge is the reality, which is pure knowledge. Source of knowledge is pure knowledge, which is the reality, which is otherwise known, which has no beginning, which has no end, which does not undergo any change, which does not depend upon anything as far as existence or the Jagat, is self-existent, and which is, that's why we say, which is time-wise, spatially, object-wise, limitless, and which pervades everything through the, permeating, which permeates everything, because the very existence of everything. That reality is Brahman, we say. So that Brahman, what is that reality, we need to know. What is that reality? So in Karna Karya Prakriya, I told you initially, Upanishad, the Karna Karya Prakriya or Srishti Prakriya, through the method of analyzing the creation, it's called Srishti Prakriya. The method of analyzing the cause-effect system is called Karna Karya Prakriya. Same, two both mean the same. And in this, when using these prakriyas, Brahman in the Upanishad helps us to arrive at the reality. What the reality is. What is that reality? The source of knowledge. So when it uses this Karnakarya Prakriya or Srishti Prakriya, Upanishad accepts something, going point by point now, because I don't want to forget. Next week again I won't do this. We will go to something different. So the Karnakarya Prakriya, using these two Prakriya, Upanishad makes it very clear. Even though Upanishad is aiming at negating our perception, initially Upanishad accepts our perception. accepts our perception means what? Accepts our perception of the universe being created, universe being a creation. This is our basic perception. How do we perceive the universe? There is a creation. Creation is real for us. What is creation? Is real. Creation is real. Universe is real. World is real. Our pain is real. Our pleasure is real. Our sorrow is real. Everything is real, real for us. Therefore, what? Universe is real. Our pain is real. Everything is real. So, when you say the universe is real, then that's a creation. And later on, yes, universe is created. How do you say create means what? Create means it has come into being from something. What is that from which it has come into being? And it says that is Brahman, the reality. From that alone, the universe has come into being. Therefore, what? Having said that, this is creation. This creation has come into being from into something. That is Brahman, the reality. If there is a creation, if you accept, you have to say there is a creator also. There is a creator. So there is a creator and there is a creation which has come into being from that reality. And next, it goes like after, later on, what is that which has come into being is effect. That from which this universe has come into being is the cause. Brahman is the cause, Jagat is the karyam. Jagataha Brahma, Jagat Brahmanoha. No? Which is what now? Karana karya sambandha. There is a cause effect sambandha. Brahman is the cause, Jagat is the karyam. Brahman is karanam, the cause. Jagat is karyam, the effect. But generally now we understand no effect is ever away from its cause. Cause and effect are always inseparable. Like water and the ocean. Like word and its meaning. They are inseparable. Therefore, what we say, there is no distance between the cause and the effect. Therefore, what? There is no distance between Brahman, the reality, and the Jagat. Not only that, when you say there is no distance between cause and the effect, and we have to say cause, Brahman, cause always exists independent of the effect. Whereas effect cannot exist independent of the cause. Therefore, that which has independent existence is what now? Satyam. That which has dependent existence is mithya. Why we should say satyam and mithya? Because there are not two satyams are not there. Two satyams are not there. Two satyams means what? Two realities mean two different things. Must be there. We can't say two different satyams are there, we can't say, because there only satyam is one. Whatever is there apart from satyam is not satyam but mithya. Because it has no independent existence. Effect has no independent existence, cause has independent existence. Therefore, cause is satyam, effect is mithya. So with reference to here, the whole Jagat also, if Jagat is karyam, Brahman is karanam, then what we do? Brahman can exist, Brahman exists independent of, without being dependent on the universe. Whereas Jagat cannot exist at all independent of Brahman. Therefore, what? Brahman is Satyam, Jagat is Mithya. If Brahman is Satyam, Jagat is Mithya, then we say, can we say that two different things? No. There is only one thing. The two orders. Mithya is another order of the same reality. It cannot be counted as a second thing. It has no countability because it has no independent, I explained to you earlier also. There's no independent existence. Therefore, what now? Satyam Brahma is not Mithya Jagat, but the Mithya universe is nothing but Satyam Brahma. Therefore, what now? All that is, there is only Brahman. So, what now? There is no creation, there is only manifestation. Why do you say there is no creation? For the creation to be there must be two things, creator and the creation. And between creator and creator, what now? Now, creator and creator, two things must be there. And here, and the creator is separable from the creation. Because here, the creation, the so-called Jagat, is not separable, understand now, from Brahman. Therefore, what now? There is no creation. Now, even if you say, no, Brahman is created, universe is created, Brahman reality is the creator, even if you want to say also, if you say, we cannot say because it has no independent existence. If it is second thing, then you can say, well, first thing is creator, second thing is created, or creation if you say, then two things are there, there must be two things, okay, two satyams. Only then you can say there is a creation and a creator, because two satyams are not there. Therefore we say what now? There is no creator, there is no creation, what is there is only manifestation. The whole Jagat is the manifestation of knowledge, understand? Which is nothing but reality. Whole is manifestation. The whole universe is Brahman. Have you got the order now? This is how Upanishad negates now. First it accepts the universe, thereafter creation, it negates the creation. First showing you the part, look at the part. How part, nice the part is, this part can hold 1 liter milk, or it is very nice, and how look at the shape and beautiful, look at the work, you know, how nicely it has been made, everything. And look, it also talk about its purpose, it serves also, it can contain 1 liter milk, it looks very nice and all that. And what is very much real, what is there. And you ask the question, what is this pot made of? No, clay. Look at this clay. If you take the clay away, can the pot exist independent of the clay? No, it cannot. So what? Clay is not pot, but pot is nothing but clay. Can you say pot is? You can say pot is clay. Understand how? So seeing, you, is it clay? No, pot is clay. This is what is knowledge. Understand now? Not pot is clay, is not knowledge. I mean, the whole Jagat is Brahman. That is knowledge. In our worship, in our prayers, when we have altars, we see as what now? We visualize. See that in this. Seeing that in this. See the clay in the pot means what? See the clay as the pot, not in the pot, okay? See the clay as the pot, if I say, it is visualization, it is upasanam, it is trying to focus attention on the pot. Okay, that, is it clear now? Seeing the clay as the pot. Or seeing the pot as the clay. The pot as the clay. But when you say pot is clay, it is not visualization. It is not projection. It is not deliberate superimposition. It is just clear knowledge. Pot is clay means what? It is not superimposition. It is knowledge. Is it clear now? Now it's a whole, see the Lord as the universe. Means what? There's no clarity. See the Lord as the universe. Means what? Lord is not the universe. Even the universe is nothing but the Lord. Lord is not the universe. See the Lord. Okay, see the universe as the Lord. See the universe as the Lord means what? Lord is not the universe. But seeing the universe as the Lord. See the whole universe as the Lord. I'm repeating it. See the whole universe as the Lord. See the beautiful stars as the Lord. Lord is not the stars. Lord is not the space. Lord is not anything. But see the whole universe as the Lord. Means what? You are visualizing. You are deliberately superimposing the Lord upon the universe, which is not. Understand now, which the Lord is not, which is called upasanam. Is it clear now? It will help you. But if you say, there is not much understanding. When you say, see the universe as the Lord means, there is no understanding. What understanding is this? Somebody is thinking, telling you that you also listen to that. We also try to see that. Try your own mind's work, isn't it? Is there any clarity? Is there any understanding? No. But when you say the universe is the Lord, see the universe as the Lord means different, but universe is the Lord when you say, that is vision, that is knowledge, that is understanding, that is clarity. Isn't it? When you say universe is the Lord means, universe is the reality, universe is Brahman, Jagat Brahmaiva. Jagat Brahmaiva. Iava you say. Jagat is nothing but Brahman when you say. Jagat Brahmaiva. Jagat Ishwaraha. Jagadeva Ishwaraha. Jagat Brahmaiva. When you say, you have resolved Jagat in Brahman. Is it clear? Jagat is Brahman means what? You resolve Jagat in Brahman. You say Brahman alone is. There's no second thing other than Brahman. There's nothing which is not Brahman. There's no second thing other than Brahman. It's called. So this resolving Jagat in Brahman is what? Born of clear understanding, knowledge this is, isn't it? Clear understanding. So that is what Upanishad is aiming at through this prakriya. Is arriving at Brahman, all that is there is only Brahman. There is nothing other than Brahman is what? Understanding Brahman. Through what? Through which lakshanam? Tatastha lakshanam. For which Brahman introduces Srishti prakriya. Understand? Because everything implies knowledge. Oh, there is a discipline. Look at this. There is a discipline. What is discipline? The discipline of truthfulness. Speak discipline in terms of speech. Now, being truthfulness is a discipline to be followed. Now, truthfulness is discipline. Who said it's a discipline? Why is it a discipline? There is a knowledge. What about that truthfulness being a discipline? Look at this. There's a knowledge about truthfulness being a discipline. That is why you're able to say it's a discipline. What is truthfulness? What is truthfulness? Discipline. What is this discipline? Because it's a discipline. How do you know it's a discipline? I know. There's a knowledge about truthfulness being a discipline. There's knowledge about the importance of following the discipline of truthfulness. There's a knowledge about, understand now, there's knowledge. Everything is about knowledge. I do this activity. You know, there's a knowledge. Before karma, there's a knowledge how to do it. There's a knowledge what I'm going to get as a result of doing it. There's a knowledge, you know, there's a knowledge what I'm going to get out of it. There's a knowledge of what I'm expecting to get. Knowledge how to do it. There's a knowledge. See, without knowledge, there's no action. Without knowledge, there is no discipline. Without knowledge, understand, everything is in the form of knowledge first. Do you get what I'm saying? We talk about all these things. Oh, the Vedas and things, the rituals and all of the things, the lokas. Everything is about knowledge. To put it differently also, you can say, even all the beings here are knowledge. In fact, means what? Everything implies, all these activities, really imply knowledge only. Knowledge backing them. For all the living beings and the non-living things, in fact, are also manifestation of knowledge only. Living beings are a manifestation of knowledge. Means what? The living beings means every living being seeing the being, I can understand what is that life? What is that? How do you decide that something is alive? Something is a living being. Seeing the plant, you imagine, it's a dead plant. It's a living plant. It's a dead. It has no life. It has life. How do you decide? You see somebody, full of life. This person is a little dull. Or this person. You say all those things. How do you decide it's life? There's life. How do you say that it's life? Because you know all the functions are happening. How do you know all the functions are happening? Do you see the functions? How do you know all the functions are happening? Because I see the sprouts coming, I see the flowers blooming, therefore there's life. Therefore what? There is functions are happening. What are all the functions? There is food intake. Isn't it? The food is consumed. Food is digested. Food consumed in is converted into energy. That is understood. There is breathing. There is respiration. That is why I can see the sprouts coming. If I could see, I can see the flowers blooming. I can see the flowers becoming fruits. I can see all those things. That means what? There is no consumption of food. Then there is production of food also in the form of photosynthesis. I do not see anything happening physically, but I understand all these functions happening. That means, are we teaching the plants? Are we teaching any animals how to live? Do we need to go and teach the monkey how to hop from one branch to other branch? All the activities, all the systems, they all function. Our own physical system doesn't trigger our knowledge. Without being taught, please understand, without being taught, without being instructed, things are happening. I mean, functions are happening. Functions are happening. The heart is pumping. The kidneys are expanding and contracting. Lungs are contracting and expanding. All the functions are happening constantly without being instructed, without being taught. That means what? There is definitely all these functions imply what? There is, in every function, there is an order involved. And that order is backed by knowledge. Why it functions the way, why it should function this way, why it should function the other way? That is called order. Why the heart should function only this way, not any other way? That is an order involved in the function of circulation. Why the lungs should work function only this way, not any other way? Because that is the order involved in the function of respiration. Like that, every function, there is an order involved. Wherever I see the life, I see functions happening. They're all subtle. I understand the functions being manifest. I don't really see through physical eyes. Then the functions are within the realm of order. Let me try to change the function of heart. What will happen? You understand the order involved in the function, so anything goes wrong, you can correct it. If you try to put in your own, let me try to make it function differently, it will not work because there is an order. That is why all the doctors have to study the order involved in the function to learn whether they can correct something goes wrong. They can't try to change the order already involved in the order. New order they can't bring in. Why can't it try to make it function differently? Why should it function here? Let me remove the heart from here and put elsewhere and make it function differently. No? That is why what would have said order. The order implies knowledge. So there is a function. The function is within the realm of an order. And the order is unchangeable. What cannot be changed, what should not be changed, what is not now subject to change is what? Order. Understand now that order is backed by knowledge. Who teaches? There is knowledge. And that knowledge is what? In fact, manifestation of knowledge only. Manifest knowledge. When you don't see the knowledge, you understand knowledge being manifest. And that for all that manifest knowledge, what is the source of knowledge? From where this knowledge is manifest? Is it clear now? If you really think, no, it is natural. It's naturally there. Even if you think, no, I made my own house. We build our own buildings. We build our buildings. You may think, we build our buildings. Okay, the functions happening in the living system, we don't create. Okay, they're all natural. I understand this as functions are all natural. You know, the functions involve, functions are in the realm of order. The order is also not outside of knowledge. That knowledge is what? Manifestation of the reality, the pure knowledge. I understand. What about we also create? Now we also, whether man-made things are there. Apart from man, no other being is capable of creating anything. No, but just by being what they are, they produce, they reproduce. They're blessed with the, again, reproduction is a function. Now, every small being grows into big and then produces lots of seeds and reproduces. Its own species. All the living beings have the capacity to reproduce. This also, again, implies manifestation of knowledge only. Even if you think we build our own things also, the capacity to build, you know, we are not creating anything here. We are not creating anything here, really speaking. The knowledge how to use, knowledge of what is what? Oh, clay is, sand is, soil is, cement is, how to make cement, it's all what? Knowledge. How to cut the wood, how to use it, where to put the hook, where to put the thing, where to mix it, how to mix it, how to place it, how to patch it, what is it? Tell me. Even if you are taking, okay, what can be used, what is, first you discover, clay is, water is, cement is, bricks are. So, would you create them? You have knowledge of what is. That knowledge is what? Manifest knowledge. And afterwards, knowledge of what is there, then there's knowledge of how to use it. How to use also is what? Knowledge. Isn't it? Look at this. Without knowledge, nothing is possible. Who creates that knowledge? Manifest, okay? Knowledge is not created. Please understand. I mean, you may feel a little sleepy now. Knowledge is not created. Knowledge is only manifest. Knowledge is not created. Understand? Knowledge is not created. Knowledge of what is manifest. Knowledge of how to make use of what is what? Manifest. Not created. Therefore, knowledge of anything which comes into being is what? Manifestation of knowledge. Whether you build the building, okay, are naturally already God-made or man-made. Everything is what? Manifestation of knowledge. Please understand, God-made or man-made? Oh, physical body is God-made. Why do you say God-made? Because you did not order for your heart. Okay? You do not make anything. You know what is, you can differentiate what is God made and what man made. God made or man made, please understand, everything is manifestation of knowledge. Man itself is manifestation of knowledge. And man made is what? The capacity to know, then understand now. That is the knowledge. Hope you think well. You understand, isn't it? This is what Upanishad tries to say here. Therefore, it only manifestation of knowledge means what? That knowledge. Where is that knowledge? The knowledge is manifest as knowledge of what is, as knowledge of how to use, make use of what is. You know, a knowledge is manifest in all the living beings. That knowledge which is manifest, where is it manifest from? Is it created or is it just manifest? It's manifest knowledge. No knowledge is created. Understand now? It's only manifest. If it is manifest, means what? It was there always. When it was there, before it was manifest, what was it? Unmanifest. It was unmanifest means where was it? It was just the knowledge. Understand? Source of knowledge is what? Reality. Brahman. Which is pure knowledge itself. And what is that reality? The source of knowledge from which alone knowledge manifests. Okay? That reality has been recognized in terms of its swarupam. How to recognize it? Upanishad is going to say later on. It's going to, the following 12th verses, we're going to see how to recognize that reality, Brahman. Okay. And you all can see, there's a beautiful verse I heard somebody singing. Ariva Irevane Kandu Hondain. You know, just if the mind has to become much subtler to appreciate the subtle fact revealed by these verses, revealed through these verses. When you read, you may see it, because it is meant for mainly for those students of Veda. So it uses lots of things all about Veda. But you don't need to feel, no, because I'm not able to understand. Really speaking, these are all just, the details are not important. What it tries to convey is this much. Knowledge is not created. Okay? Knowledge was, knowledge has been beginninglessly, endlessly, unchangingly, changelessly. Knowledge is always. Is, has been, was, has been, is, will ever be. Understand? Either it is unmanifest or it is manifest. Unmanifest also what? Unmanifest is pure knowledge. Manifest in the universe. Is it clear now? And that source of knowledge, which is also said to be what? Pure knowledge. The source of knowledge, wherein the knowledge is unmanifest, from where the knowledge becomes manifest, is said to be what? Is it reality, Brahman? But how this mind, you know, has to recognize that reality. Look at this. It's also manifestation. Isn't it? That is what Upanishad is going to tell you, the trick now. Next, it's going to tell you how to recognize that reality, the source of knowledge, the pure knowledge, from which the knowledge becomes manifest, in which the knowledge becomes unmanifest, remains unmanifest. Really speaking, it's just manifestation. There is no creation. For you to say the universe is not created, for you to be able to say it's a fact, universe is not created, there's only manifestation of universe. For you to say that, you should know the whole universe is knowledge manifest. Manifestation of knowledge. When you see this cupboard,
This is such a small thing, not a very big artwork. All slabs of wood, he put them together. Not put them together. No, put them together, some intelligence is used. And it serves a purpose. Isn't it? And how to put this together? How to make it? How to make this? How to put these slabs, these boards, wooden boards together? How to put is what? Knowledge, isn't it? Where is it, knowledge? Do you see knowledge here? But you understand knowledge being manifest. Knowledge is in the form of thought, which forms part of the carpenter's mind. But that knowledge is what? Thought. Thought is from where? The reality, isn't it? That knowledge is expressed where? Here. This is what? No, manifestation of the knowledge of the carpenter. Isn't it? You don't see the carpenter's knowledge here. But knowledge is manifest here. That is why we say, similarly, the smallest example. Similarly, all that is made here, all that is created here, is really speaking not creation is nothing but manifestation of knowledge. Creation is what? Nothing but manifestation of knowledge. It's an amazing, beautiful fact. And the source of knowledge is what? Reality. What is that reality? That is what is pure knowledge. That reality is what? How to when you recognize, this mind recognizes that reality, okay, it will be resolved. Therefore, Upanishad has to really make us understand, first of all, it's also another, this is how Upanishad helps us to become mentally subtle. No, grass mind has to become subtle mind. To later on to grasp the nature of reality. Reality in its sarupam. So it presents, creates, come on, all these things. All the Vedas, all the rituals, different types of rituals, the know-how of rituals, all the lifestyle, the disciplines which had to go with the study of the Vedas, the food, the lives, the beings, the varieties of beings, and the source of food, the vegetation, and the earth, and all those things which are required for the production of vegetation, all of them, all are from where? They're all nothing but manifestation of knowledge. Because we only sow the seeds, we don't go and sit with the plant, okay? We don't know how it is growing. Even your own child, you only feed, that's all. You don't know how it works and then how the cell division takes place, how the body grows into full-fledged being, you don't know. Do you see them or what? You sow the seed, that's all. Therefore, without being taught by you, without any of your instruction, the tree plant has its own freedom to grow by itself. It's free. Understand now? It knows how to absorb water from the plant, the soil. It knows how to pass it on to its leaves. It knows how to, in London, all the leaves die because they take holiday. Because there's no sun, no photosynthesis possible. The whole of winter they take off. Go and unbecome, sit, rest. Only when summer comes, they also come out. All the leaves are hardly seen here. Except one tree. One Mahatma tree. We have special bulbs and things on Christmas day. One tree, it's very special because it looks green. It looks green, so he has to celebrate it. Because there is no photosynthesis. Everything, if you see, with nothing is taught, there's no instructions given. That means every living being lives its own life without being taught. Means, what does it mean?
your own functioning. Your mind is not taught by you how to function, how to be a mind. Understand? Your heart is not how to function as a heart. Your lungs are not instructed. Your kidneys are not instructed. The functions are not instructed. Understand? And whatever the mind decides, and the physical body just follows. Is only what? It is just to do, understand now, follow the mind's instructions. So that means what? Look at this. What is created here? That means knowledge is manifest. There is, okay, every function, there is all functions, many functions, and everywhere there is order involved. And the why we call it order, over which you have no say. And then order involved in a function means order over which we have no say. Isn't it? We cannot undo it, nor can we change it. That is what is said to be order. Law and order. Ishvara's law and order means what? The order. And there is not one thing, it's a universal law and order. Can we change it? Imagine. What can we change? We can only cancel the class, we can decide to come to the class, not come to the class. That's all. Then again in the realm of order, I tell you. Being able to come also is the realm of order, not being able to come to the class also is the realm of order. I give away because it's all mind, it's all in the mind. I tell you, all our actions are completely governed by the thoughts. Why those thoughts rise? You are not creating the thoughts. You are not instructing your mind, come on, think this way. My God, if that is possible, we all would become Mahatmas long ago. Understand now? Think this way, you can't say. Thought has to go by itself, for which another thought and understanding has to take place. Isn't it? So, see, mind is a function. And function means what? There is order involved. It functions the way it has to function. It cannot be different from what it is. It is the way it is. Similarly, heart is a function because there's a way it has to function. It cannot function different from what it is. Function means it is within the realm of an order. The order means the order which cannot be different from what it is, how it is. Why it is? It is as it is because that is how it has to be. That means why it has to be, why should I not change it? Try. Okay, order means what? We have no, over which we have no say. That order. When you say function, then order, that order is in backed by what? Knowledge. Understand? What is that knowledge? How do you know there is knowledge? By understand this buddhi. At least human mind has the capacity to understand knowledge. There is inborn knowledge. Nobody needs to teach the calf to go and, you know, suck its milk from its mother's udder. I tell you, it knows, even it is born, immediately next minute it gets up. And all the, you know, you see this, all these chicks going after his hen. Amazing, isn't it? We don't need to do anything. So that knowledge is what? So we don't see the knowledge, we understand knowledge being manifest. That knowledge is manifest knowledge. So the order backed by the knowledge is what? Manifest knowledge only. The function, the realm of that order also is what? Expression of the manifest knowledge. You know, it's all manifestation only. Therefore, we have to understand this knowledge, which is the manifest, okay, is what now? So the whole universe we see is all knowledge manifest. Sun, moon, stars, and all the beings, living things, non-living things, everywhere there is knowledge manifest.
this human man can understand the knowledge being manifest. He cannot see the knowledge as knowledge. Understand now? And to recognize what is that knowledge. Now, which alone is manifest as the knowledge? There is another, we'll see that later on. We're going to see the 12th, 13th verses. And that is what we call reality. Therefore, the whole thing is going to say, there's only knowledge. But what we see, because our mind, it's all, everything is gross universe, perceived, and gross mind also is very gross. To understand something very subtle, profound, you know, the mind has become subtle. So, it takes its own time. That's why we shouldn't feel bored with, you know, like Marga or Javat, like Ramana Maharshi, does not take you to that. Because if it doesn't suddenly go also, you know, you'll be frustrated because we are ready for it. It tells you that's okay to do that. But basically, there's a nice way of, this is where you will learn. Now you learn, you'll appreciate, the life will be more enjoyable here. This is very important to understand. Whole is Brahman. This is where you will know what is being a source of warmth, what is being loving, how to avoid being rude, you know, how to manage anger, how to manage your desires, how to manage my needs, how to manage my thoughts, how to get them fulfilled, how not to go against dharma. For all these things, you know, the growth is very important, isn't it? That's why immediately we can't just go and jump. There is slow growth must be there. So this is why Upanishad presents beautifully, slowly. It tests our patience. People are not interested. What is this? Why do so many verses are said? Why so many verses? So what? Everything has come into existence from Brahman. We want to know Brahman. It presents verse by verse, verse after verse, verse after verse. It presents so many things. So now what we know? Brahman is not anything, everything is Brahman. This has to be ascertained doing following mantras next class. As an individual, I'm given everything you can say, but you see, knowledge is Ishvara means what? Every function is Ishvara. Every order involved in the function is Ishvara. The knowledge back in the order is Ishvara means all the functions have been resolved already into Ishvara. Which is you now? Which function is you? Kidney or lungs or heart or, you know, what is you here? Just, as I say, so Ishvara is our knowledge. அறிவே தெய்வம் தமிழில் ஒரே வார்த்தை அழகாக சொல்றது அறிவே தெய்வம்னா காட் இஸ் நாலெட்ஜ் காட் இஸ் லவ் காட் இஸ் நாலெட்ஜ் அன்பே தெய்வம் அறிவே தெய்வம் வி கனாட் சே சச் எ ஸ்மாலர் சென்டென்ஸ் தென் தட் இசன் இட் லவ் இஸ் காட் நாலெட்ஜ் இஸ் காட் ஸோ வில் கண்டினியூ தி நெக்ஸ்ட் கிளாஸ்